Karmasya te te bhagavatastri yuga tridisvahi padish characharam idam bija devatartam vinambrita mari abhigati rajatamascha sarveno varadaya tanuva nirasya. These four kumaras sure can pray. Okay. So this is word by word, which I don't know where I got it. O Lord, you are the personification of all religion, of all dharma. Therefore, you manifest yourself in three millenniums, because I guess we need dharma in every millennium, unless you protect this universe, which consists of animate and inanimate beings, by your grace, which is of pure goodness, by your grace, which is of pure goodness, and is the bestower of all blessings, kindly drive away the elements of Rajas and Tamas for the sake of the demigods and the twice born. Is it Kumaras or somebody? Kumaras purport. The Lord is addressed in this verse as three yuga, or one who appears in three millenniums, namely Satya, Dwapara, and Treta Yugas. He is not mentioned as appearing in the fourth millennium or Kali Yuga. It is described in Vedic literature that in Kali Yuga he comes as Channa avatar, or incarnation, but he does not appear as a manifest incarnation. In other yugas, however, the Lord is a manifest incarnation, and therefore he is addressed as Tri-Yuga, or the Lord who appears in three yugas. And here you have Ram. I don't know if he's Yuga avatar or not. Of course, he appeared in Treta Yuga. Sridhar Swami, and we have Prabhupada speaking now, Sridhar Swami's commentary, describes Tri Yuga as follows. Yuga means couple, and Tri means three. So Tri Yuga, or three couples. The Lord is manifest as three couples by his six opulences, or three couples of opulences. In that way, he can be addressed as Tri Yuga. The Lord is the personality of religious principles. In three millenniums, religious principles are protected by three kinds of spiritual culture: austerity, cleanliness, and mercy. So maybe this is the order in which they appear in Satya, Dwapara, and Treta: austerity, cleanliness, and mercy. The Lord is called Tri Yuga in that way also. In the age of Kali, these three requisites to spiritual culture are almost absent, but the Lord is so kind that in spite of Kali Yuga's being devoid of these three spiritual qualities, he comes and protects the people of this age in his covered incarnation as Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is called covered because although he is Krishna himself, he presents himself as a devotee, devotee of Krishna, not directly Krishna. The devotees pray to Lord Chaitanya, therefore, to eliminate their stock of passion and ignorance, the most conspicuous assets of this Kali Yuga. In the Krishna consciousness movement, one cleanses himself of the mode of passion and ignorance by chanting the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, as introduced by Lord Chaitanya. Yeah. So it's interesting, cleanliness doesn't mean just physical, although in the Bhagavad Gita, when Prabhupada is describing cleanliness, he talks about physical cleanliness, but then he also says the same thing, internal cleanliness. The four Kumaras were cognizant of their situation in the modes of passion and ignorance because, although in Vaikuntha, they wanted to curse devotees of the Lord. So, of course, this is a big topic of where were they? You know, they'd gone through several doors. Those doors were kind of in Vaikuntha, but they weren't in Vaikuntha. They passed the bottle and on the thing here. You know? So how could they themselves have these qualities which are criticizing the doorkeepers of? So on. Okay, but it says here, they were conscious of their own weakness. They prayed to the Lord to remove their still existing passion and ignorance. We also were reading some other verse, and it described, it's in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18. It's described, Krishna says, those who are pious in devotional service, they get a higher elevation. So Prabhupada says they go to Dhruvaloka, which of course is a resident bike with the planet. You know? So maybe people like us, who are very sincere in chanting the rounds, getting up early, following all these things, So we're acquiring you know, some kind of transcendental pious credits. But we still have this maybe, you know, little flavor, you know, in there. Well, you know, if you get pushed too much, it pops out sometimes. You become angry or you know, become stupid. Okay. The three, so they're praying to have these things removed. The three transcendental qualifications, cleanliness, austerity, and mercy, are the qualifications of the twice-born and the demigods. Those who are not situated in the quality of goodness cannot accept these three principles of spiritual culture. So I just from the internet, I just from the clip art for angry. And we got this cat back here. angry cat. And it's like, you cannot accept Dominical culture here like that. Yeah, okay. For the Krishna consciousness movement, there are three simple activities which are prohibited, namely, illicit sex. In Spanish, you can't translate this as sexo ilícito, because that means like we're talking about two sexes, male, female, and a third one, which is the illicit sex. But there is no illicit sex nowadays. So you said to say actividades, illicit sexual activities. Okay. So the same thing here, illicit sexual activities, intoxication, and eating food other than prasad offered to Krishna. These three prohibitions are based on the principles of austerity, okay, that's illicit sex, intoxication, cleanliness, and mercy, not disturbing the poor animals. Devotees are merciful because they spare the poor animals, and they are clean because they are free of contamination of unwanted foodstuffs and unwanted habits. Austerity is represented by a restricted sex life. These principles indicate that by the prayers of the four Kumaras should be followed by the devotees who are engaged in the Krishna consciousness movement. So, any comments? I think it's the end of the purport. Yeah. So today we're asked to go ahead and also say a little something about the Prabhupada's Tirubhava Mahotsava, his disappearance festival. So I guess we should go ahead with that. Ramananda, are you there? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare.
Sorry, Maharaj, takes me a while to unmute myself sometimes. Please, Maharaj, we are waiting to hear from you.
Okay, so I guess I'll go ahead then. Yeah. Okay. Jayanilo Premadana Koruna Prachur Heno Prabhu Kota Gela Charya Thakur. So Prabhupada ki jai. When I started doing this, different ideas became prominent and the things that I would like to express. As Prabhupada says, that old age is a good friend for a devotee. So now I'm approaching my death without any doubt. Not only have two of my teeth are gone, my short-term memory is gone, my eyes are falling apart, my hearing is falling apart, my respiration is okay, but a little bit tricky. Now my knees have started to ache, so they're starting to go. So it's like you can't complain to Yamaraj. He's not giving you notification. Okay, yeah. So get ready. Yeah. So I'm kind of like what I'm doing now is everything I'm doing, I'm kind of giving it for the last time. I don't know if I'll be around to do another Tirubhava Mahotsava, you know. So here we have Srila Prabhupada Tirubhava Mahotsava. And we love to think in terms of PowerPoint shows. It's our mentality, you know. And also when you're making these things, you can always look up flower vases and toss in a couple of flower vases, and it always makes the PowerPoint shows look nice. You know? Yeah. So a very, very nice formal picture of Prabhupada, you know, like that. Prabhupada, I heard, wanted one picture to be used a lot so that people would identify that with him on a mass movement, you know. And this is such a nice picture. This one is a formal picture like that. Yeah. Okay. So then we have our first slide here. We have a more intense association with a picture of Akrura, and up in the corner a picture of Jayananda and Prabhupada. And these are just thoughts that were coming to me. Because when Krishna left Vrindavan, like Prabhupada, you know, left ISKCON, left this world, it wasn't because he was like, you know, dissatisfied with the Brijbasis or couldn't keep his association with them. But actually what he was doing was he was trying to give them a higher form of association. So when Krishna left Vrindavan in a manifest form, his Vasudeva and Sankarshan portion went to Dwarka, but his intimate form of Krishna and Balaram stayed in Vrindavan. And what form did they stay in? Lila, Smarana, Swarup. That's the form they adopted. The Lila, Smarana, Swarup. And that's what Krishna's personal form of contemplation, meditation on his pastimes. And it's not a fixed form. That Lila Smarana is actually a living form which increases and manifests and expands in so many ways like that. Now appears Jayananda. And our speculation is that Jayananda is an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. We have a lot of evidence to give a speculative basis there. But at least so many people, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Satsrup Maharaj, you know, so many people agree that definitely there's, you know, it's not at all wild speculation to think that maybe he was also one of these people who was supposed to have come from Vaikuntha. And so I was very fortunate to have association with him when I joined. And that was pretty much, you know, one of my intimate connections with Prabhupada was through him, like that. Prabhupada already had like maybe 1,200 disciples or something when I joined. And so, okay, so yeah, very natural that we associate with Prabhupada, you know, through his disciples. Yeah. And just like Haridas Thakur was incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj, he was seeing that Lord Chaitanya was winding up his pastimes, and he didn't want to hang around for that. So he asked him. So same way we notice people saying thing that Jayananda wound up his pastimes just right before Prabhupada left. You know? And I think it was Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, you know, somebody always had to be there to make arrangements to receive Prabhupada. So Jayananda went ahead first like that and stuff. So it's one of the first point that, you know, you feel separation, like somebody's going to a foreign country for some time, you won't see them, so the family says goodbye and people are crying and stuff. But it doesn't mean they won't exist. And actually, in some ways, we're looking forward to it because now this person is going to be sending us letters and pictures of camels and, you know, the Great Pyramids and stuff like that. So it's both a cause of lamentation, the Tirubhava festival, and also a cause of jubilation. Okay. The next thing we had is how to associate with Prabhupada. You know, of course, we heard that Prabhupada, when he was leaving his body, he said, "Don't say I didn't leave you anything." Because sometimes the children, they complain their parents ate everything up and left no inheritance, you know, although they got a good inheritance. So Prabhupada left us. He left us Sankirtan. We can go out and glorify Krishna, sing about Krishna, make PowerPoint shows about Krishna, put on dramas about Krishna, organize Rathiyatras for Krishna. And he also gave us the deity worship. We can have Radha and Krishna in our own home like that. He gave us Varnashram. In a very practical sense, to understand like what is our roles in society and how to organize society. I think we missed out one point here, that we should have run a Hare Krishna candidate for president this year. You know, I think we have actually enough strength now. I think there are a lot of people floating around who just identify with us in a general sense and have our books and read them. And so if a good candidate came up, you know, there could be organized support from many Indian people, but then ISKCON itself. But then beyond that, a lot of people, if we started doing it, you know, now, of course, Tulasi, what's her name, Garba from Hawaii is there, you know. So and considering the competition, there's a chance we might have won. And if you didn't win, there's a chance that maybe you might have been bought off as Secretary of State or something, you know. So Varna Ashram, we're expanding it. And it goes on and on like that. You know, Prabhupada gave us bhajans, which we can sing for meditation. So here I've kind of emphasized the books. And you know, Prabhupada gave us, the first book I got was the Krishna book. Yeah, holds a undisputed place as the king in my heart. Yeah. And then the Nectar of Instruction, of course, which is a summary of everything. Chaitanya Charitamrita, which you can't surpass in terms of the highest mellows and everything else. And there's a very famous picture of the Prabhupada, no? Sitting here. And I think these are all the books that have been published at that time. If you look at it, there's the Krishna book, 2-volume. You know? Then Srimad Bhagavatam, first three cantos, I guess, 2 volumes. Then the second canto, and I think part of the third canto. And that's about as far as I've ever wanted to go in some way systematically. But that's Hanuman. Hanuman is in Dasya Ras and a little bit of Sakya Ras. So the first two cantos are Dasya Ras and then Uddhava's descriptions. And if we go up, then we also have the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which is the essence of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, the nectar of devotion, complete science, Bhagavad Gita as it is, and Isopanishad. It's beautiful. Beautiful little library. If you can just systematically study these. And then whatever you have, you know, here and there, attend classes and, you know, and read as, you know, as you're motivated like that. Hanuman, as far as I know, Hanuman never carried a club. I've read a lot of Ramayans, you know, but he always showed with a carrying a club. He would pick up like an elephant and smash another elephant or tear things up with his claws and teeth or, you know, he would pick up a club that was lying around. So Hanuman was just using sticks and stones to break their bones. So that's one of the aspects of our Anjana Sudha Academy American Bhagavat curriculum. Sticks and stones, just something systematic, but beyond that, just whatever things are hanging around in terms of Krishna consciousness. Because nobody can catch all of Prabhupada's books, even in 100 years. Okay. Then Prabhupada's disciples, his devotees, our association was, that's said through Jayananda, and then Hansa Duda. Here's a very, very nice picture of Hansa Duda. In the back is, what's his name now? Who was, oh my God, Maharaj, remember his name. This is in Germany, of course. And Hansa Duda had so much intense association with Prabhupada. When Prabhupada made GBC secretary, she was there. When Prabhupada made BBT trustees, he was there. When he named people to accept his post of Acharya, he was there, you know. So one after another, everything Prabhupada, pretty much Prabhupada created, he made him one of the first people like that, you know. But also, he created so many problems. I think it was this thing in Germany when they, when Prabhupada came to Germany, he, all over the place he was distributing this flyer and had a very side view, a very eagle-like, aquiline side view of Prabhupada with his chin up, you know, looking very powerful, a little arrogant. And the caption said, Der Führer hat kommt. The leader has come. But of course the word Führer has a lot of connotations in Germany and stuff like that and so on. So he created all this controversy there, and it went into the court and it came back and everything else, you know, so on. And he took advantage of it left and right. They were in jail, out of jail, you know. So the devotees were criticizing him. So he wrote to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, maybe I should just go and live in Sri Lanka and, you know, chant Hare Krishna. The Prabhupada wrote back and he said, no, no, no. You know, go on with your sankirtan. He said, you're like an elephant. You do big, big service, but you also pass big, big stool. So he said, try to minimize the stool passing business because I have to clean it up. Okay. So this is Bhakti Bhushan Swami behind Prabhupada there. So that was a lot of how we associated and still associated with Prabhupada through his other disciples and through our senior godbrothers, who Prabhupada says we should accept as, in terms of Prahlad Maharaj, we should accept as our spiritual masters. Okay. Then, of course, the other person, Jayananda, Bhakti Srup Damodar Maharaj, and Hansa Duda. And, of course, with Maharaj, I had so much association. Actually, we slept on the same bed. We had sleeping bags. We slept on the same bed together. One time he was so kind to tell one devotee if I had a second wing, like Hanuman Swami, I could fly. Okay. So there's so much, you know, intimate association with him. He's like my godbrother. So sometimes I would criticize him, and you know, but still, you know, with the attitude of trying to improve things, not for any personal comfort, you know. So we had such a, you know, nice relationship, and from him I learned so much about how he had learned how to do things, you know, by direct like physical association with Prabhupada. And of course, you know, we had all this work with the Bhakti Vedanta Institute. We organized a big international conference on the study of consciousness within science. And that was in India. And it was actually one of the first ones, 1990. And so much work and so much of what I'm doing now is simply based upon what I learned from him and what he learned from Prabhupada. Like that. And what Prabhupada learned from Bhakti Siddhanta. Many times you can see the parampara going back like that. You know? Okay. So that's one way in our this festival, you know, is appreciating all of our godbrothers and senior godbrothers and like that and so on. And by that way, if we know them, then we know how to use them, you know, Because Hansaduda, he said, I'm amoral. He wasn't immoral. He was amoral. Whatever he thought was right, he would do it, even if society didn't agree with it like that and so on. Yeah. Okay. Then after that, we have so many just pictures here from my collection of pictures. Like, I don't know if everybody's started making their own collection. I have a collection of pictures I use for PowerPoint and some nice pictures of Prabhupada. And these, of course, if you look up, you know, pictures of Prabhupada's lotus feet, and you can look at them for a long time, and you can count the toes, and you know, so anything. You know. So devotees bowing down. But this is something else Prabhupada gave us. He gave us the opportunity to wash his feet, to bow down at his feet. I have a suspicion Prabhupada, I know Prabhupada didn't want that. He didn't want people to bow down at his feet. And Bhaktisiddhanta didn't do it. Bhaktisiddhanta did not allow people to touch his feet and bathe his feet and that kind of stuff, you know. So Prabhupada maybe realizing this was the only hope for us, you know, allowed us to, you know, pay our obeisances, to worship his lotus feet, you know, the dust of his lotus feet. So this is an eternal thing. We can hold Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet in our heart, you know, and serve them. Yeah. Then another one. The master of the rasas of Goloka. So here's Prabhupada, you know, in one moment, you know, talking about something, his eyes are so big, and, you know, telling the story about the maybe the hunter, the woodcutter who was going out there and under the desire tree. He told the story about that woodhunter, and everybody said, oh, it was so scary when Prabhupada told it, when he came to the tiger, you know. But the next moment, you know, Prabhupada's completely disgusted, it looks like, you know. So there he is, you know, talking about the rascal scientist in one breath, and the other one talking about maybe the wonderful things they're discovering. Yeah, you know, he appreciates these things. So Prabhupada was so full of this, as you can see it. His books, like today, talking about the great asset in Kali Yuga being ignorance and passion. You know. So Prabhupada was the master of manifest, you know, relationships. Yeah. Yeah. Vaikuntha man. So here's some very nice photos. Prabhupada is kicking back in the sun, you know, resting. So much battle, so much tension, but at the same time, too, just, you know, when he had to, he could just forget everything, you know. And there on the Vyasasan in public, yeah, just in a different world. And, okay. And the other thing is Paramahamsa, you know, these two pictures. Here's one Prabhupada reading something, and you can see from him it's not an English book. And I don't think it's a BBT publication, you know. But Prabhupada looks quite, you know, serious looking at it and so on. Maybe one of his Gaudiya's publications or something, you know. Yeah. And so that was the point. It didn't matter, you know, again, Prabhupada was able to pick up, you know, rescue gold from garbage and nectar from poison. And he was able to take all these things, you know, out like that and appreciate them. I was appreciating 747s, how beautiful they were, and I was even inspired with poetic sentiments and so on. You know, there's so many things about them. You know, it's kind of like among, maybe until recently, maybe even still, you know, until amongst airplanes, I am the 747, you know. But I was thinking maybe this is Maya, you know. But then Prabhupada was talking about it. He said the 747, he said the pilot touches one button, and the entire thing flies in the sky. He was like, wow, I was appreciating. So I was appreciating it. Prabhupada is appreciating this beauty and this majesty and, you know, of the 747. Then Krishna must be really incredible, you know, because he's seen both of them. So it was Prabhupada's going through this world. On the other hand, you see this picture of Prabhupada marching with his head up, you know, and challenging all the nonsense. So he wasn't, you know, just seeing the good things or the bad things. He was seeing the both. He was seeing reality. You know, so he could pick up the essence of reality. And we should learn that from him, you know, and also do the same thing. Here's a nice picture. You know, shows Prabhupada in his original, I guess, original rooms in Radha Damodar or something like that. And just so happy, you know. Yeah, so happy in the arrangement of Krishna. And eventually what was happening, he was on a Vyasa-san here, like, you know, being glorified, like, you know, nobody has ever been glorified in so many ways, like that, and so on. So, in your case, Prabhupada was the same person. Now, this is a very interesting picture. I've labeled it two guns, okay? Now, who can see what's unusual about this picture? You can put it in the chat there and I'll see it. Subal can't see it. Look on Prabhupada's left wrist.
Oh, I have two watches. Yeah, two watches. Yes.
Prabhupada has two watches. You know, when he was a little boy, he said he wasn't satisfied without two guns. So maybe one watch is for Vrindavan Dham or Goloka, other watches for Los Angeles. Yeah. Prabhupada was always a little boy. Yeah. And finally here, last picture we have, Arjuna says, Nashto moha, 1873, Nashto moha smater lavda twat prasadan mayachuta stitosmi gatasandeha karishye vachanam tava Nashto moha smater lavda twat prasadan mayachuta stitosmi gatasandeha Karishe Vachanam Tava. Arjuna said, My dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. Okay, so that's going back to Godhead. This is one point in my favor, that going back to Godhead means going back to Godhead. Yeah. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt, and I am prepared to act according to your instructions. So I like this picture. It shows, like, Prabhupada's finished his lecture. If you see now, it's both feet in Maya's face, whatever it is. I'm sure Prabhupada would do that to Maya. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah. That's it. The lecture's finished. Okay, and now Prabhupada's ready, both feet on the ground, marching, you know, right into the battle. You know. Any more questions? If we have questions, then Prabhupada's ready to relieve them. Sincere questions. Why not? Yeah. So that's our presentation. Okay. So thank you all very much. And so one thing myself, I feel, Prabhupada is, you know, it's a nice phrase. They say, God is too big for one religion, you know. So Prabhupada is too big for one devotee. Yeah. And hopefully what we can do is try and find our place in orchestrating glorification of Srila Prabhupada, so other people can also receive his light. You know, we can make windows into dark places. We can make mirrors. We can make, you know, broadcasts, and then so we can all, you know, glorify, illuminate, you know, Srila Prabhupada. So we can go into so many places like that. You know, maybe you're just preaching to your family, and just maybe they're not even all that. What's the word, like, receptive? You know, but you can go on. So, figuring out newer and newer ways, associating with devotees, how to get Prabhupada. I remember there was one policeman who was a devotee becoming a devotee. Maybe he got initiated eventually in Spain. And his wife was a very demoniac lady, and she just wanted, you know, nice clothes and him to become successful and become a captain. And so she was very, just, you know, vehemently opposed, you know, kind of person who would flush Mahaprasadam down the toilet and stuff, you know. Yeah. So what he would do, she was buying like these bottled waters. She would dump the bottled water out and put Mahaprasadam water in their bottle. So he was tricking her into taking prasad, you know, and she would appreciate it, you know. Okay, yeah. So, Ramananda Prabhu, I guess that's the end of our presentation. So any comments or questions by anybody? There must be a lot. Everybody must have a lot to say about Prabhupada.
Well, I would like to ask you a question right off the bat, if you don't mind. You know, when I do searches, just about anything devotional, there's pictures of Prabhupada that just come up, you know, for images. So I see the impact that Srila Prabhupada has, you know, because, I don't know how to relate this, put into words, he's just very prominent. Even you do a simple search on the internet, anything to do with Krishna, Srila Prabhupada comes up. You know, so that's got to be an impact. So what I was going to ask you is, in your worldwide preaching with academics and like that, what is their view of Srila Prabhupada's contribution?
Well, one thing I kind of remember, actually, was my impression, and I was asking Radhika Raman, other people, they said it was fact, that before, in this actual area of theology, in that kind of area, you know, where you're definitely directly talking about the Vedic literatures and all this kind of stuff, if you mentioned the P word, you were out. You know, it didn't matter whether you said, I think Prabhupada has some good ideas, or if you said, Prabhupada is not a scholar, Prabhupada is this and that. Even if you said something negative, it didn't matter. So you just couldn't say the P word like that. Because Prabhupada was just so frightening to them that even whether they related to him as like the greatest horror or the greatest delight, either way, it just was too intense, you know, so on. So for a long time, that was, I think, the relationship, you know. But then they saw that the Frankenstein monsters that Srila Prabhupada was creating weren't so Frankenstein, you know, that maybe his street preachers and some of these things had the, Marines of God, you know, type Jesuit type thing to begin with. But then they saw, okay, that happened to the Jesuits, but they also, you know, mellowed out. And so same way, then his disciples, Garuda, Radhika Raman, you know, Janaki Ram, what else we got? So many like that, you know, that they knew how to play the game. They didn't rock the boat, you know. And so now it's come to the point where they can be quite accepted in mainline academics. And, of course, there'll always be some people, you know. And if there are no people that object, then we should wonder about our preaching, you know. But there's, in general, within the mainline academics, now his disciples, and therefore his philosophy and stuff, are beginning to be appreciated and stuff like that, at least by some experts. Other than that, of course, some people think it was a hippie phenomena. You know, that was when it was manifest, when Prabhupada was here. He made himself manifest like that. And then he planted so many seeds besides this quick flash thing. And so those, I think, are manifested in different areas amongst different academics. But other areas, that's what I'm trying to find out, you know, because some people, they understand Prabhupada. Some they've heard about him. A lot of course, is still the beginning Hare Krishna movement. He's identified with that, you know. But in terms of introducing his ideas in psychology in those areas, it's still like a very much, you know, pioneering area. In many areas where Prabhupada's, you know, with the contribution we have from Prabhupada's books and everything else, and the practice of them is still unlimitedly, you know, valuable, you know, rich, and it hasn't been introduced in areas. We're on tour right now. We did a program this last week in Chicago at what's it called? Truman College in Chicago, and also Illinois Institute of Technology. In both those places, we were getting things across, you know, but, you know, how much still and stuff. But people were accepting, appreciating the psychological aspect. So that's what I would say that academically, he's still not known so much, you know, and directly in the theology area and those kind of areas, yes. And he was known super intensely. And of course, then it expands out like that, too. Okay.
Oh, can I ask just one other thing? What about the BBT Library Party that put books in universities throughout the world? Did you see any impact from that? Libraries and universities?
Well, the thing is, you know, the University of California, for example, I'm not sure what they have now, but they had, you know, in all their holdings, they had over a million books, okay? Can you imagine 100 books? Okay. Now, can you imagine 1,000 books? Okay. Now, can you imagine 100 books? Okay, that's 10,000. So, what is it? 110,000 is, that's how many books they have in their library. And they have more than that, I'm sure. Now, many of those are not even on the shelves. And many of those are stored in storage areas, and they're kept like, you know, climate control and stuff like that and so on. And those you order, you call them, and you call them, they'll be there the next day or something like that and so on, you know. So, and some of the books may even be eliminated. That's, once they're in, I think they're pretty much in many ways. That's the way the library works, you know. But beyond that, I know I've seen them on shelves, but the thing is how many people are using them in terms of professors and stuff like that and so on, you know. But they're there. And then when people go through searching, for example, now that we're making Radhika and Krishna Kshetra working to make Srimad Bhagavatam famous, they have one book out already by Columbia Press, and the other one should be out any moment. And that's one is going to be really heavy. That's a summary with essential extracts of the entire Bhagavatam at an academic level. And it will serve. It's almost, I think there's just nothing that's going to compete with it in terms of a university level, you know, book for research and for study, like that classes. So, of course, that once that comes out, then people naturally, of course, looking for different editions and stuff, you know, so on. So it's a slow process to slow down the elephant and change his direction. You know?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And because here in Richmond, they have a very similar situation to what you have in Hawaii, you know. And Subhal's appreciating that, well, actually, we could do the same thing here. We could have a 6 o'clock class, and everybody could be online and stuff, in our community and stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Maharaj, I like your point of giving Prabhupada. I guess, of course, the obvious is his books. He is so present in his books. I mean, it's like with so many descriptions of the books are non-different from Krishna, and they're non-different from Prabhupada. I was just reading where Prabhupada was saying that if the Bhagavatam is in someone's home, it's just like a deity. And if they don't read it, the whole home becomes purified by its presence.
The and whole University of California library has become purified then.
Yeah, I mean, we have no idea how potent it is giving Prabhupada. It's a nice meditation, but not just his books, but I guess every aspect of what we do, we're all part of Prabhupada's army. We're all, everything is his various types of ammunition, whether we're given a book or whether we're given a talk at a university or whether we're out on Mahasankirtan chanting. It's Prabhupada. It's all really Prabhupada's presence. It's just a nice meditation that everything we do is giving Prabhupada.
Yeah, as I was doing this thing, I was just realizing that this is unlimited. You know, deity worship, everything else, but there's so many things. If you say a Prabhupada, yeah, we should give us bottom. I didn't even mention that. You know, you give us recipes, you give us, you know, unlimited. Wow. And today, of course, is just starting for you all. You have a whole day. You know, we're in the middle of our day here. But tonight we're going to have a program. You know, there'll be a whole congregational program here in Subhal's house. And then that's the whole thing is just what I see again, like, listening, glorifying Prabhupada and trying to pick out the essentials and listen to other people. You know, like the Vyasa Puja book every year should... Almost like people should be able to read them before they're published, and then, you know, write stuff, you know, and cooperate the presentations like that and so on. Yeah.
We were saying in our class the other day how we just take it for granted. It was Govardhan Puja that we just recently celebrated, and you know, who ever heard of Govardhan Puja before Prabhupada? I mean, it's just, you know, we just take it as. Or even the name Krishna. I never heard the name Krishna until I know some people heard it through other way, Allen Ginsberg, etc. Didn't have the potency, of course. But I remember the first time I heard the name Krishna was on the mall at our university, and I guess it was 1967 or 68. It's, you know, now it's just a household name. Everybody's heard Krishna. in all around the world. Nobody heard of Krishna pretty much until Prabhupada gave it to the world.
There was something, I think, some quote in the beginning of Wimsey Evans' Tibetan Book of the Dead or something. It was just like, yeah, yes, yeah. Every town and village. Wow. Hey, I guess you want to thank everybody for this wonderful, you know, how can I express our gratitude for this opportunity to make this little PowerPoint show up? It was, of course, I had so much fun just to go make a collection, you know, of pictures and stuff. You know, if this is your inclination, and so I have a nice collection of pictures now for different things, illustrations, and some come and go on the internet like that and so on, you know. And you collect them, and then of course it's so easy then just to have the PowerPoint show and just to talk about the slides like that. And even then, actually, yeah, record it. You can record it on the PowerPoint itself. And then even that can be even made into publications and stuff. You know, we got to drive Barnes & Noble out of business. Okay, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hi, Adibo.
Maharaj, did you want to say something?
I wanted to ask Maharaj a question. Is he gone?
Oh, I'm here. I'm here. My voice is still here, but my image is gone.
Hari Bol Maharaj, this is pertaining to the purport and something you said before that I've tried to remember, and I don't have the whole thing. You said when a person sees good food, they should know that that's the beginning of their downfall.
No, it's from I think it's. Where is that? I'm pretty sure it's from Vrindavan Da Mahimamrita by Prabodhananda Saraswati. And of course, he wrote Shatakas, 100 verses. And there's like 16 Shatakas or something like that and so on. And so it's very, you start to find it. But it's, if you go to vrindavandam.com or org or whatever it is, you go in there somewhere, they have a list of books. You know, you can download it from there. You can also go to my webpage. Go to jayarama.us. Mm-hmm. And go to our archives, and then look up VDM, Vrindavan Da Mahimamrita .doc, and it's there. And it's wonderful. It's a fantastic Krishakada's translation. It's a wonderful meditation. During Kartik, it's something you can read a little bit. And he's even an incarnation of Tungavidya, so his glorification of Vrindavan is unbelievable. So the citation, as I remember it was, he said, whenever you see good food and good drink, you should think, This is the beginning of all my problems.
Right, right. Yeah. And then what's the progression from there?
Hello?
And what was the progression from there? Do you remember?
What was the what?
The progression, like the good food and the good drink causes
he doesn't go into anything else, of course, but of course there's also a vodka. Jiva Vegam Udara Pasta Vegam, that as soon as you're tasting a little bit of puri with a nice salty sabji and some apple, you know, chutney, then after a while you want to fill your belly, and if you fill your belly, then you have pressure for romantic inclinations, and those take you to hell, you know, and that. So that is that progression. But of course, if we go ahead with the attitude of honoring prasad and keep thinking, oh, this is what Radha and Krishna had for lunch, and Pujari did this. Oh, this is not so nice. This could be improved like that. Oh, this is wonderful. You know, if we have the idea of just taking that, and also then taking Krishna's mercy, you know, for our service. I've heard Sridhar Maharaj said that after you take prasad, it was Govinda Maharaj, I think, yeah. After you take prasad, you should stand up and say, where is my seva? And that should be the result of taking prasadam. You want to stand up afterwards and say, where is my service? You know, like that. That's all I remember. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Maybe we'll get to Hawaii someday. I actually have the impression that all of you are disembodied people. Actually, you're just in some kind of ethereal floating island above the earth.
Mukunda Prabhu, did you want to say?
Oh, one thing, I thought I'd written an article earlier, but there's a very honest meditation of Srila Prabhupada not simply being like an ordinary preacher, because he is the embodiment of the fulfillment of the prophecy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah. So his status of what role he has played in the extension of Gaur Lila is really of great significance, and perhaps something that can be easily overlooked. But just as Rupa Goswami Pad had established the famous verse that we sing, or that we say, Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam, that Manobhishtam Mahaprabhu was always twofold. One was to taste himself what was the highest kind of prema, and Rupa Goswami revealed at the Rath Yatra that mood of Mahaprabhu in those two verses. I'm not going into that whole thing now. But also, one was to preach everywhere in the world, and then he directly said that this name was spread to every town and village. So though there were so many stalwart devotees, and this is not a comparison thing because you cannot make mundane comparisons of the transcendental, but the fact that Srila Prabhupada was the embodiment of that utterance directly from the mouth and hence heart of Mahaprabhu is of such significance that what kind of person he had to have been to personify, like Rupa Goswami personified his Manobish, how Srila Prabhupada embodied that prophecy. It is certainly not an ordinary thing. Not I just by the external accomplishments, but by the reality.
I agree 100%. So, what you're saying is so important. I remember also I was in the ashram, and I heard Govinda Maharaj had a verse, which they recite every day. Maybe you know this, right? Where he says, we offer obeisances to A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, who is a Shakti of Ash Avatar, empowered by Lord Nityananda, yes, to talk about culture in the Western world. So it is
That verse was composed by Pujapad Govinda Maharaj when he wrote to Srila Prabhupada when they were compiling a book on all of the sannyas disciples of Srila Bhakti Sanat Sarasati Thakur. So he wrote that, and in there he writes, of course, Guru Avagya Sirasadharini Shapja Vesha Swarupine. So there's a whole backstory today I will tell one day.
Jai.
Jai Srila Prabhupada. Jai. Jai.
We're going to go now, and I hope you have a fantastic ever-expanding festival.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Prabhu, don't forget, fast half-day for Srila Prabhupada's disappearance. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.